You'll take your Bibles, please, and join me at Psalm 4 tonight. Psalm 4, we've been doing a series now for the last several Wednesday nights relative to the subject of guarded by God. And I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. I know it's been just personally studying these two passages of Scripture written at a time in which David was going through a very difficult season of tragedy with his son, Absalom, having taken over the throne, having schemed to remove his father from power, having taken some of the most trusted of David's advisors on to his personal staff, and trying to kill his father. And David was able to rush out of Jerusalem. Didn't take much with him, just grabbed what he had and took off. The Bible describes him as barefoot. That's how quickly things happen there in Jerusalem. He makes his way up to the top of the Mount of Olives, and there they hold a worship service. Whenever they get up from honoring the Lord there, up coming up the side of the backside of the Mount of Olives is Mephibosheth's servant, who has donkeys loaded with food, loaded with clothing, shoes. And David says, What are you doing here? And he said, I've come to help you. I've come to take care of you and make sure you've got everything that you need. And he said, where is Mephibosheth? Well, Mephibosheth had sided with Absalom. One of the statements that's interesting is made is that Mephibosheth thought that his father's house would now be the new leaders in Israel. Absalom had promised him something, that Mephibosheth, whose father, Jonathan, was killed, David had taken care of him, but they still weren't coming to power. And Mephibosheth stayed back in Jerusalem with Absalom, thinking this may be the day that the tribe of Benjamin has its day, and I may be in power. All the promises that were being made. And David says to Mephibosheth's servant, everything that I gave you charge over, it's now yours. You know, the Lord takes care of those that take care of God's people. He'll make sure that they are covered. I want to focus tonight on the remaining verses of Psalm 4 and hopefully tonight increase your confidence in Jehovah God, that He is able to care for you no matter what struggle you're going through. Let's begin reading at verse 5 and we'll read through verse 8. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That word trust there means to take refuge in Him. The word trust in the Hebrew means to take refuge in Him. Now, what are these two psalms all about? Taking refuge in God, trusting Him no matter what is going on. You don't have the clothes, you don't have shoes, you don't have food. You just rest in Him. He was able to sleep that first night on the Mount of Olives, and God took care of him throughout the night. He was able to sleep the next night. After all that God had done for him, he was able to rest in the Lord. This is the point, verse 6. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask now that You'd bless in this short time that we have together Your precious Word, and that we might learn to place our confidence, our trust in Thee, and be able to rest when everything else seems to be falling apart, the wheels coming off the wagon, sorrows abound. Lord, we can trust Thee and sleep during those times, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think for just a moment, very quickly, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. This is a reference back to Absalom, who we are told in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he, Absalom, offered sacrifices. Now what kind of sacrifices were Absalom offering there? Well, he wanted to have God's blessing on his new administration. Isn't it just like politicians to want to do something religious? You know? We got to do something religious here. Let's have a prayer. Now, we don't want to pray at any other place. We've got our fingers out into the communities. You don't pray at any kind of public gathering now. But it's all right if we do it at Congress and if we do it at the inauguration, and we can do it at a few times like that. After all, that's an appropriate time for religious exercise. Absalom here offered sacrifices, but they were not sacrifices of righteousness, were they? They were false sacrifices. They were sacrifices to look good to the people. See, we're religious. I'm just like David. I'm religious like my father. You can trust me to be religious. So we're going to offer some sacrifices here. Isn't it amazing that if somebody prays, immediately our thoughts think that there must be a believer? Isn't that interesting how we do? If somebody goes on network television and they say something religious, people just automatically come away, well, they must know God. Don't you understand that they're playing the God card? It's just one of many that they've got. And they'll pull it out because they want to appear like they're concerned about your concerns. And if you are duped by them, you will think that. Listen, we've got to understand, Absalom's offerings were not to God. They were for show for the what? The people. Watch out for that. Watch out for that from our politicians. Oh, they love to play the God card. They'll pull it out at a crisis moment. Oh, we need to pray. Something bad happens. Let's bring the flags down and everybody pray today. And everybody thinks, oh, this is so wonderful what they're doing. What these politicians are asking us to do. It's not about God. You say, well, that's pretty negative, Pastor Brainerd, of you. Listen, you better figure these politicians out real quick, or you're going to be sheeple that just go along to destruction. Everybody running off the cliff. We got to learn that these people, there are a few, yes, there's a few exceptions. I'll grant that. But the vast majority of this, whenever they holler and cry, oh, we've got to pray at this moment, they haven't prayed before. We get in a crisis, we got to pray now. What's the point? The point is we want to look religious. We're playing the God card. All right? Verse 6. There be many that say, you know, after the sacrifices were offered, there were many that said, who will show us any good? Do you feel like that? You feel like that, Christian? Who will show us any good? Look where things are going now in Washington and how things are going in this country, and they're allowing all kinds of things to happen, gay marriages, and now on television just about, you can't even watch a news broadcast without their showing them. Showing this actor's new husband, man, two men, their new husband. Boy, they like to throw that out. They want to get it out there as much as they can. And there are a lot of Christians that say, who will show us any good? Well, where does good come from? Does it come from government? No. Does it come from Tallahassee? Or maybe the Santa Rosa County Board of Commissioners. They're the ones that will show us good. You see what we've got our eyes on? We've got our eyes on man. Got our eyes on man. Man cannot give you 1 second of rest. Can't give you 1 second of peace. Oh, they'll try. They'll call out the police if there's a problem. But they can't stop men's evil hearts. Only God can intervene for us. Notice how he finishes that verse. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Let the people see that our help is not found in man. Who will show us any good? You look to God, and you'll never be disappointed. You look to man, you'll always be disappointed. You remember how our knuckles were dragging on November the 5th or 6th last year? Everybody was just, yeah, that was me too. I'm not singling. That was me. I couldn't believe it. Now, I knew it. I'd forecasted it was going to happen. But I just couldn't believe it. Here we go again. And I ask that question, who will do us any good? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Not from man, it's from God. Now I want to give you a final thought here. And this is a very important point here in verses 7 and 8. All right? Because I want you to see something, a little bit different perspective tonight. Look at verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. You can be glad when the wheels fall off the wagon? Yes. Well, how about if the mountains start sliding into the oceans? And what if a meteorite hits the earth? Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Every year used to be, they had harvest festivals. Why? To celebrate another season whereby they got food in from the fields. They got the silos filled with grain and corn and abundance. And they rejoiced and thanked the Lord for the wonderful harvest. That's a wonderful time, especially for a farmer that's labored all year long for this moment. When they bring the last wagon in from the fields and they put it up in the silo and they say, that's it, there's no more. No more cotton, no more corn, no more wheat to go get. Let's rejoice and thank the Lord. Another season has come in. Now, that's a time of rejoicing. What does the Bible say here? My gladness is greater than that. And think of the circumstances again. What are the circumstances? He's on top of the Mount of Olives because he's been run out of town by his own son, and he doesn't know whether he's going back anytime soon. Gladness was in his heart. Now notice this. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Two things. I will lay me down in peace. Have you ever had panic attacks? Or in the middle of the night, I have a test first hour. Boy, that was my panic attack. I'd come in from working. I worked at Stage Crew up at Bob Jones. And I'd come in at 2 o'clock in the morning after working for several hours, getting ready for the next day for stage events and whatever, lighting changes and whatever. And I'd come back in and I'd lay down in bed and all of a sudden it hit me. You got a test first hour in the morning. And it's Greek. Now that was the most horrible thing I could think of. First hour test, and it was Greek. Okay, for me, that was like the end of the world. And I would get up with my little flashlight, and I would be looking, and all those Greek letters would start turning into creatures, staring me in the face, and I'd finally say, I can't do this! And you break out in a sweat. What am I going to do? I'm going to fail. And what am I going to tell Mom and Dad? You know, they got an A1 loser that forgot to study for his test. You know, you have all of these things in your mind, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? And you just go into the sweat. What am I going to do? What do you do then? You trust the Lord. I will lay me down in peace and what? Sleep. Now notice this. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now, this is how we usually think about this verse. It's the Lord alone that makest me dwell in safety. Now that is true. But that is not what this verse is saying. And I want you to see this. All right? The word only there should be translated in loneliness. In loneliness. That's the word in the Hebrew language. Several translations have repaired this. For Thou, Lord, in loneliness or in seclusion, makest me dwell in safety. All right? In my seclusion. It's speaking about the one that's going through the sorrow and the trouble and the difficulty. In my loneliness, Thou makest me dwell in safety. That's the emphasis here. This is the beauty of this. Folks, your circumstances do not have to destroy your life.
They don't have to keep you up at night. You can rest in Him. One preacher from the past called this God's sleeping pill. I don't want to in any way make this into something that it shouldn't be in a direction, but what this teaches us, folks, is that there's no excuse for not resting in the Lord. There's not, fill in the blank, there's not anything you can put in the fill in the blank that's greater than God's peace and sleep. Even in the midst of seclusion, loneliness on top of that mountain, He's not in His comfortable palace, is He? In His favorite bed, sleeping. All the children are in their rooms. All the servants are off to bed. They're not there. They're on a mountaintop, and He's got a rock for a pillow. I will lay me down in peace and what? Sleep. For Thou, Lord, in my loneliness and in my seclusion here, You makest me to dwell in safety on top of this mountain. Now, folks, this is the beauty about resting in the Lord. I said at the beginning of this series, guarded by God, that I wanted to drive every one of us into the arms of Jesus Christ. You need to learn to rest in Him. There's nothing that's going to come your way. I don't care. You fill in the blank. There is nothing that is greater than what God can do in your heart. You ever wondered how some people, believers, could just sleep at a time of crisis? How sometimes in a time of crisis, you can't go to sleep. Remember Paul and Silas? But what were they doing? What were they doing at midnight? They were resting in the Lord. It's hard to sleep with your feet in stocks. You could put them through here and then have your hands like this. Have you ever slept that way? I've been in a few motels. It felt like I was sleeping on a mattress that was like being in stocks and bonds. But I want to tell you this, no matter whatever the situation is, you and I, if we are believers in Christ, can rest in peace and sleep. What's the key? Trusting in Him, placing our confidence in Him, knowing that He is the lifter up. Remember Psalm 3? He is the lifter up of mine head. He cups my head like a pillow, and He lifts me up and allows me to rest and sleep. Now that's trusting. That's trusting. Have you ever had a child or a grandchild crawl up into your lap and fall asleep? That's what you and I need to do with our Lord. You just need to crawl up into His lap and lay all the cares aside and just sleep in Him. And you will have the rest that you need. You'll have the deliverance that you need. It's called trusting in Him. Is that not a rebuke to us and what we call trust? It's just words that flow out of our mouth. Yeah, we just need to trust God while we just meander on our way doing our own thing. Listen, we need to rest in Him. That's the secret of being guarded by God. It's just resting in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, it's so wonderful to know that as Your children, we're guarded by Thee, that we can pillow our heads in Your hands, knowing that You will care for us, that if life ceases, the heart stops beating, the brain stops sending its signal, that we will pass from this life into Your care without a glitch, without purgatory, without something in between. The child of God immediately goes into the Father's care. And Lord, we're just so thankful that we have that care now while we're alive. We ask, Father, that You would teach us to trust in Thee, to have confidence in Thee, to learn not to carry all of our troubles and cares and problems to bed every night, but Lord, to cast all of our cares upon Thee, knowing that You care for us. What a privilege it is to be Your child. Help us to rest in Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.